Welcome to another episode of The Lord's Delight. We are going to start another series. So in this series, I want to talk about different biblical characters that are either appear in couple of verses, they are not seen anymore, more like what we would consider insignificant characters, not in terms of what they do, but, as opposed to characters like David or Joshua, Daniel and Joseph, Abraham, Jacob, like all these characters that come for such a length of time and people are more familiar with, as opposed to little characters that probably come in one or two verses and are never mentioned again, or some of them appear in significant incidences, but they are never named. And it would not have happened if not for them. So that is the series we are going to get started on. And the first characters that I want to talk about is these midwives named Shipra and Pua. This comes in Exodus chapter 1. To also give you context, the Israelites are being oppressed. They grew so much in number. Joseph brought his family, Jacob and all his brothers and their descendants, because there was famine in the land everywhere except Egypt, where Joseph had become one of the administrators who became sort of like the right-hand person for the king. But then, since a lot of kings that rose up who did not know Joseph or what had happened in the past, and so what was happening is, and the Israelites also grew so much in number, so they were being oppressed. So if you look in verse 15, it says, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shipra and Pua, 'When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live.'" Can you imagine what this king is asking these two midwives to do? Their profession itself to make sure that the babies are born safe and healthy and all that. That is what they are supposed to do. And the king is asking them to do the exact opposite. He says, "You will see the gender of the baby when baby is born. And if it's a boy, kill him." Look at verse 17. "The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live." Do you know how big and important it is? This is such a huge thing. They defied the king. They feared God rather more than they feared the king. And it was not let go by the king. He calls them back. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" He's questioning them. "I gave you a command. How can you defy it? Why did you do this?" The midwives were smart. They answered Pharaoh saying, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." It was a smart answer. The king could not verify it, right? But then it is a plausible answer because these women were also slaves. So they did a lot of physical labor. So they were healthier. And if you look at verse 20, it says, "So God was kind to the midwives and the people increased and became even more numerous." What they did is actually why Moses was born and he was alive. These midwives, if they had obeyed the king, Moses would have been killed at birth. So this is the thing. So these people, they feared the king. That's why they lied. They never said, "We fear this God, so we will not do this. This is not what we do. This goes against what we believe." No, they did not say that to the king. They had a smart answer. They feared the king, but they feared God more. And these women stood up to the king when nobody else did, right? The men, the warriors, they were all under the king and they were opposing the Israelites. But these two women, Shipra and Pua, they chose to fear God more than any authority they were placed under or any man. The second person is a little girl. This character always amazes me. We are going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Here, it is the story of Naaman. We heard this story being told a lot of places, right? How Elisha actually says something to Naaman and finally Naaman gets healed of leprosy. To give you context, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. It says, Bible says in 2 Kings 5, he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of riders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." This is little girl who was brought as slave labor to Naaman, the valiant soldier's wife. A little girl, she's not even named. But look at her heart. She was not bitter. She was not resenting. In fact, she's trying to help this valiant soldier. It is her words that sent Naaman to Elisha and eventually healed him of leprosy. The little girl said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So when God puts us in circumstances that are not something that we like, how do we behave? This little girl, an unnamed little girl from the Bible, could teach us a lot more than a lot of characters in the Bible. The way she actually, with a humble heart, actually says he wants her master to be healed, and she is brought here as a slave. And Naaman hears that word and takes it to his master. I mean, can you imagine somebody with leprosy? They hear an avenue of, oh, I could be cured. They're going to try it out. It's like nowadays, you know, when we hear of a new treatment for cancer, let's say it's a family member or even ourselves, we would try it out. If we know that, oh, this would definitely happen, people try it out. And this man who has power and position but has a sickness that he can do nothing about, it's not in his control, he heard this little girl's voice and obeyed. And you know, his king, this guy does not use the same exact thing. He doesn't tell the king of Aram, he tells exactly what she said, but then king of Aram says, "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And the letter is so vague. "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." There is no mention of a prophet. And the king literally tore his robes and is crying out, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Now he wants to pick a fight with me. He wants a war." But Elisha, man of God, heard that and then calls Naaman. And Naaman had to be humbled because, hey, he was like, if I want to dip in a river, I could do it in my own country. But then when he obeyed, God healed him. All because of the words of this unnamed little girl who went as a slave to another country, but still remembered God's people and was aiming to help her master in the place where she was serving as a slave. So these two women teach us a lot of things. This unnamed little girl teaches us to have a humble heart in situations we are put where we might not like where we are placed, but still aim to do God's work in the place that might not be friendly to us. Secondly, Shipra and Pua, it's not like they didn't fear the king. They did. They actually understood his authority. He could easily have them killed, but they feared God more. So rather than fearing men, fear God more. Those are the lessons that we learned today. So next week, I'll come back with a few other characters who are either, like, you know, mentioned very little or remain unnamed in the Bible. So I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.